things, could you? Couldn't let that go. Because you love me.
That's it.
Love you, brother.
There's nothing like that type of encouragement.
That's right.
And the little one. And the scripture says they shall all be led of a child. And we look at the wonders of the little ones and how precious they are, how they look at this world in such a pure way. It's a wonderful thing that we can come together with one another and lift the name of our God high. We had a wonderful drive over today. Quite a bit of rain. And Brother Gary says every raindrop is controlled by our Creator. How great thou art. It's a marvelous thing to think of our God, and scriptures tell us that He sends His rain on the just and the unjust.
Sure does.
And He has His sun to rise on the evil and the good.
Yeah.
So we know that He is in charge.
Amen.
He created all things, and He takes care of His people the way that He wants to. And that way is in love. Because the scriptures tell us that God is love.
Right.
Which is a wonderful thing. You know, I was thinking about a scripture in 1 Peter. We all have trials in this life. Each and every one of us. And in the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, Peter tells us, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." We are all going to have these fiery trials,
yes,
in our lives.
True. Amen.
Each and every one of us have burdens to bear. Each one of us have things that we're going to go through. Each one of us is going to learn to obey and understand God to get through our trials. Because that's the only way.
Amen.
We try to get it from things of this world, but it doesn't work. He says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Now this is, according to the natural man, is an impossibility.
Amen.
To be joyful in these fiery trials that we go through. But with Christ, all things are possible. That's something to shout about, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
That as we go through these troubles, these trials, these temptations, these things that we feel like, I can't get through this. There is a way through God that all things are well. We look at the suffering of Christ. He says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part, He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters.
Yeah.
Yet if any suffer as a Christian, we do suffer in this life. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. When you are in diverse temptations and problems in this life, draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to you. We are his ambassadors. We are to show the faith of God in our lives that we can help others. He is the God of all comfort, and we comfort others through that comfort that he has comforted us. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Amen. When we go through troubles, when we go through these problems in life, there are others out there that are counting on us, watching us, and seeing that we might be able to show his love through us. His love through us. That reminds me of that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. His love abounding through us to others. Let me turn there. 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. I'm going to go right to the 4th verse. Charity suffereth long. Amen. And is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Think about this. Charity is love, the love of God. Yes. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. My dear brothers and sisters, if we think about these things throughout the times that we are going through affliction, we know that the power of the universe is there with us because God is love. He puts his love in our hearts. He is the one that is going to give you some type of feeling to be able to get away from these afflictions, because you look at Christ and the suffering he went through, that you might be able to help another by your walk in his trek. It says, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. That's quite a statement. That's a precept that you can take, that you got from the Holy Scriptures, and apply it in your life each and every day.
Right.
Charity never faileth.
Right.
If you look at that little peppermint patty that this son gives to his dad, it's an opening of his heart. It's a gesture of, here, have this. It's a gesture of charity, of love to his father. How precious is that? How much better does it make him feel to see that his dad enjoys this little thing. If I can use that as an example. When you do things for others, you have a joy and peacefulness within you. Because that is what Jesus Christ has taught us and has showed us in our lives. That if it's not about ourselves, it's about someone else. And not just someone else that's very close to you, but all your brothers and sisters out there might see that you walk in Christ and it might help them. How wonderful is that? That you can be a light of the world, as he calls it. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. If you're walking in his steps, people are going to see that light. They're going to understand that in him is no darkness at all. Out here in this world, we have multitudes of problems that we face each and every day. But we bring things upon ourselves by the way that we think. Amen. We're to bring every thought into captivity unto Jesus Christ and go forth in His way.
Amen.
In a way that is that it has been put in our hearts, that we might understand the grand theme of God in this world. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't know it all right now. We will when we see His face.
Amen.
For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. We'll know it all.
Amen.
When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. We have to be mature in the Scriptures of God.
Amen.
We need to go forth in the ways that we've been taught, the way that the prophets have told us, which is the words from God. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Think of that.
Yeah.
Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity.
Amen.
Is charity. If you can walk in this life with Jesus Christ in your heart and showing the world around you, Jesus in you, you are on the top of the list of what Jesus is trying to talk to us about and show us in this life. It's a wonderful thing that we have this instruction from God, that we can follow what He has taught us and told us and works within us, that we can be that light that we are to be. We're not to hide it with a bushel.
Nope.
We are supposed to show it. It is supposed to shine in your face. It is supposed to be the way that God wanted it to be. I want you to think of God and how much He loves you. And what if you do not believe what God says? How do you feel when your child or one that you love so dearly just looks at you and says, "Nah, I think I've got my own ideas. I want you to think of the love that God has for you and what you do to Him. He is a jealous God. When you look the other way, when you continue in sin, when you continue trespassing His laws, when you continue not to do the things that He has put in your heart and in your mind, we have an obligation, not only to one another, but ourselves, to follow after those things that are good. And all things from God are good.
Amen.
Thank you for your time. It's good to be back with you.
Bless your heart,
love you,
brother. It's good to hear you. Bless you, Daryl. God bless your heart. You too. Love that song. Keep praying for me, please.
Yes, sir. I'm sure.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Okay, sister. I do need your prayers as I stand before you this morning. It's been a wonderful blessing so far, and this day to be gathered as we have, to hear the good preaching that we've already heard, the sweet prayer that's been offered, all that's gone before. We're just thankful to the Lord to have such a place as this little church and others of His churches that are the planting of His hand here in this world to be able to come into out from that old troubled world and sit down together in heavenly places in Christ and enjoy the sweet fellowship of God's children. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you this morning from the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. We begin right at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto Him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's reading verses 1 through 6 of the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew. Jesus had disciples here coming in to where He and Peter were. And they came in asking this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? We have another account of this in the Bible in both Mark chapter 9 and Luke chapter 9. And in those accounts, we find a little more insight into this question. Seems like a strange question to me for disciples to come in to the Lord and say, Lord, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That seems like a question that we all ought to know the answer to that question, and to think of the disciples not knowing the answer to that question. We know who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Well, that answer ought to just flow right out of our lips. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? That's the Lord Himself. That is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Of course, they didn't have Jesus in mind when they asked that question. They had themselves in mind because they had a problem. And they had that problem that came out of their hearts. That's where the problem came from. It came out of their own hearts. They began to look at the kingdom as if it was something that was just going to happen here in time. And they were wondering about where my position is going to be. What part am I going to play? What role am I going to have? How close am I going to be in the hierarchy of things? Where do I fit in? And they had a discussion and thought about that. It said, as you read in those other accounts, they first of all thought that in their heart. They started in their heart thinking about, you know, where do I fit in? How important am I? What role am I playing? And then they began to talk to one another. In other words, it was on the inside, but then they bring it out on the outside. You ever have that happen? Where you start talking and you know you're talking about stuff you really ought not be talking about it, but it's on your mind and in your thoughts, so you think, well, I think we'll just talk about this, and you'll go ahead, and sometimes you'll say things like, we'll just talk about this between you and me. We don't let nobody else know about this because we know we're off track already, but we'll talk about it with one another as if no one else will hear it but you and me. And you're thinking it, and you say, well, I'm thinking it. Sometimes we justify that and say, well, if I'm thinking it, I might as well say it. You know, that's not true. There's a whole lot of things that go on in our hearts that should never come out of our mouth. And there's a lot of things that you and I think we have a right to talk about because we're going to keep it between you and me, where it really should never be said between you and me. And really nothing is hid before Almighty God, who already knows not only what you talked about, but who also knew where it came from. And that's really what he pointed out to them. The reason they asked this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, if you read those other two accounts, is because Jesus called them out and he said, what were y'all talking about on the way here? Because he already knew what they were talking about. And he made them know that he knew what they were talking about. And the reason he knew what they were talking about is because it says Jesus perceived in their heart. Right now today, as we're sitting here, we've got a whole lot going on with us. Some of it's going on the outside, but a whole lot of it's going on the inside. Sometimes we think, well, I got that part covered up pretty good. I'm just going to keep that in there. But do you know, the one with whom we have to do knows us completely from the inside to the outside. And sometimes he does just call us out and he speaks directly to us. Thanks be to God, he doesn't let us just run our own course and our own way, but he chastens every little child that he loves. And he's about to teach them a lesson. And he does it in such a wonderful way. Doesn't he do everything in such a wonderful way? Everything God does, he does good and right. And sometimes we don't understand what he's doing and why he's doing it, but God moves, as the hymn writer said, in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. And here he came to them and he says, he's saying, they asked the question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Because Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, ask him, what were you talking about on the way? And they said, well, he already knows, so we might as well ask him, which of us, Lord, is going to be close to you? Which of us are going to be really important? Which one of us is the most needful? If you put it in our day and time, right where we are right now in the kingdom of heaven, we start thinking things like, well, how important am I to that little church? What's my role? Where do I fit in the hierarchy? Where am I in this? How important is my job? How important is what I do? And we start thinking like that. Can I say to you, when we start thinking like that, we've got the wrong thought process going on. And the Bible says, where does that thought process come from? It tells us where it comes from. If you go over into Mark 8, remember when the Pharisees said they were upset with the disciples because they would eat, were they washing their hands? And that was, you know, that was according to the ceremonial law. That was something like, you know, you just And they, of course, had added to the law. And they said, here they defile themselves because they put something in their body. And the lesson really came back. It wasn't what's coming out inside that defiles you. It's what's on the inside that comes out that defiles a man. We understand that, don't we? We are not messed. We didn't mess up. We didn't mess up in order to... Let me say it this way. We're not sinners because of some outward action that we have done. We are sinners by practice because we have a sinful nature. And in within us there is sin. And the defilement doesn't come by us doing things on the outside that causes us to be defiled. We fell in Adam, and in Adam we died, and everything within us is defiled, and therefore it comes out of that defiled, depraved nature that we have, and that's what we would have in us. By the way, we wouldn't have anything else in us were it not for the grace of Almighty God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none good, no, not one. And he teaches them the lesson. It's not what's on the outside of a man that defiles a man, but it's that which is on his on the inside. If you read over here in Mark chapter 8, he says it in Mark chapter 7 in verse 20. He says, that which cometh out of the man, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. In other words, it's not what's on the outside, it's what's on the inside that comes out that defiles you. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So that's what's in us. And that would be all that's in us were it not for the grace of God. So we would ask the question, why would these disciples get start thinking too much of themselves? Because it's in their nature to do that. Guess who else has got that same problem? Gary Utes has that problem. And you can put your name in the blank. And we can all get in that blank. And if we allow that, if we feed on it in our thoughts, and then we begin to talk about it, and then we begin to ask the questions, we might even get bold enough to even ask the Lord, you know, Lord, you know, I'm awful important. I'll get the idea that he thinks that we are awful important. We are absolutely necessary. And he wants to teach us a lesson. Even if you have a desire, I want to be a blessing to God's little children. I want to be one that's close to the Lord. I need to walk with him. I want to walk with him. How can I do that? He teaches us in this lesson how that's to be done. Jesus called a little child unto him. Can you see the picture? He gets this little child and he set him in the midst of them. I've just always seen him, you know, having the little child running around. There's the little child, and he points at the little child and he tells him that unless you be converted and become as this little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And he tells them that lesson. But I miss a whole lot of what is here. See, not only he called, it's not just a little child. It's the child Jesus called. This is a different child than just any child. This is a child Jesus called. Jesus calls a little child. He called a little child in him. And he says, and he set him in the midst of them. And that means he took the child and placed him in the midst of the disciples. Jesus did that. Jesus took this child, this little child. Can you imagine how the little child probably scared, full of fear, except when it's near Jesus? You know, have you ever gone up to a little child when it's in mama's or daddy's arms? I sometimes go up to them at the store and you'll see them out there and there'll be a little child running around. They look like, boy, I ain't scared of nothing. They're running around doing all kinds of things. And you go over there to speak to him and, you know, I'm kind of a big fella and I go, how you doing? And he'll run, go get behind mama or daddy. Because he feels like I'm afraid. I need help. A child knows he needs help. A child knows I can't handle it. A child knows if without some help, I'm not going to make it in this world. a little child. Now, it ain't long before they start thinking they can handle everything and get real bigoted and get lifted up in pride. And that's, you know, that's coming out of the nature of man. And if we don't keep that under control in our lives, it'll cause us a lot of trouble. But that little one all just knows. And so, unless they get comfortable, but I'm telling you that when the Lord called this child came to Him. Because I'm telling you, when the Master, you're talking about a safe ground, there's no safer place to be than being next to Jesus. And what did He do? He put Him and placed Him in the midst of the disciples. Can you see today every one of God's little children that really are in the right place today? Are like this little child that's been called and that have been set in the midst of the disciples? You know, you look at your position in the church, and I sit around and wonder, how in the world did I ever get here? How in the world have I ever been blessed in 40 years of my life to have fellowship among God's little children here in this world, in the church of the living God? How is it that me, that this person, myself, has able to enjoy all the preaching that I've heard in my lifetime, all the singing that I've heard, all of the fellowship, all of the times of being at a dear brother's or sister's house and having sweet fellowship over a meal and talking about the goodness of the Lord and all the communication that I've had in my life? How is it that I've enjoyed that? Is it because I got good enough or smart enough or did something deserve it? I'll tell you what, if I get to thinking like that, I'm just like the disciples on the way saying, which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom? I'm telling you, the only reason is because, like that little child was taken by Jesus and set into the midst, I believe He grabbed me along the way and set me in the midst. And then the one place in the scripture it says He set him by Him. Does that mean something to you? He didn't just set him in the midst of the disciples. He pulled him real close. That little child got pulled real close to Jesus. He called him. He set him in the midst and then He pulled him real close. And in another place it says He took him in His arms. That's what Jesus has done for us. It says, Jesus called him. He set him by Him. And when He had taken him in His arms, it doesn't say that right here, but it says it in the other passages. When He had taken him in His arms, that's when He asked him, here's Jesus holding this child. Listen, He said, He's holding this child. He said to them, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. In other words, converting is not like regenerated. Listen, regeneration and conversion are two things, two different things. Regeneration happens when the dead are made alive by the grace of Almighty God. When one who is dead in sins, who knows no things about God, has no spiritual thoughts, is changed in a moment by the work of God and made alive. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. These disciples had been regenerated before this time, but they needed some conversion. You and I, I believe today, have been regenerated, born of His Spirit. But we need some conversion. A conversion means to be taught and to turn from the way you're thinking to the right way. From going from one direction to go to another direction. From walking in error to walking in truth. A conversion happens when Jesus says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. These need to be converted. And when you and I get to looking at the church as a place where we're really important and necessary, and forget that we're just simply like that little child who's been called out, set in the midst, drawn close to Jesus, and held in His arms, and when we recognize that everything good about my life has come from Him and given Him the honor and the glory, we need some conversion. And He says, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children. That is, little children, not in all your behaviors, but in your way of thinking about yourself, to realize without Him I can't do anything. I'm not the best. I'm the least. I think of the words of the Apostle Paul that he taught was a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation in 1 Timothy. Remember when he said that? It's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. The Apostle Paul had looked at all that he had done in his life, and he saw all the things wrong, and he was wondering, how could it be possible that I could be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ? And it came down to this. He says, it's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what that means? That means that's a statement that every one of us should have and feel in our hearts every time we come at every meeting. That I wouldn't be of any help to anybody if it were not for the grace of God. But by the grace of God, I should do everything I can to help every little brother, every little sister, every member. You know, if you take children, put them together, and then you've heard stories of this where you'd have back in the olden days, when they had slavery and those kinds of things, you'd have the children of the masters and the children of the slaves would come together and play, and the children wouldn't see who was one way or the other way. They didn't see who they didn't see anybody as the boss or anybody as the servant. They didn't see anybody as better than the other person. They just saw children. They just saw. Listen, brothers and sisters, as we come together, we're not to see somebody from this side of town or somebody from that side of town or somebody of this skin color or somebody of that skin color or somebody with a lot of money or somebody with no money. We come and see all of us as simple beggars before Almighty God, and without His blessing, we don't have a thing. When we do that, He says, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. He says, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, and the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You want to get real close to Jesus? You get real close with the Lord's people. You become, if you get at the feet of your brethren, willing to wash their feet, which really means to really willing to be to do anything that is needful and necessary for them to be done. That you're willing to, because you recognize without Him I am nothing and less than nothing. And He says, and whosoever shall receive such little child in my name receiveth me. When we do those things for one another, when we're there to help one another and to be a benefit to one another, you know what Jesus said? And as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. So when someone needs something and you're able to help them, whatever way that is to help them, Jesus says He says you're doing it to one of my little children, and whatever you do to one of my little children, it's the same as doing it unto me. I ask you today, what is it that Jesus needs from you and me today? I'm going to answer that question. Not one single thing does He need from us. But His little children in this world, and many of them have many needs that you and I can be greatly blessed in supplying and helping them with as the Lord gives us the ability to do it. We're here as God's little children to help one another and to be a benefit to one another. And if we can give just a cup of cold water to one of God's little thirsty children, what a blessing that is. Jesus says, whosoever receiveth one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believes in me, it would better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Does it sound like we better be careful how we treat God's little children? I'm telling you, God's little children are those that He called out, set in the midst, He holds dear. And it is very important that you and I are behaving ourselves in the right way in regard to them. It's also a wonderful thing to think about. He loves us in that way and in that manner. What is it all really about? Giving Him all the honor and all the praise and the glory. And not ever getting to where we think we're so much. We ever get to thinking so much of ourselves, too much of ourselves. If we get to thinking anything of ourselves, we're thinking too much of ourselves. It's just that simple. We can lose the blessing of the kingdom of heaven that's here in this world. And there is a kingdom that we have in this world that we have. What a blessing it is to sit together with the Lord and have fellowship in this kingdom that He's placed and put here in this world. We won't lose our eternal home. But we can lose. What did He say? It did not come with observation. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. to have sweet fellowship with the Lord, oh, what a blessing that is. And what a difficult life it is for God's little children when we get outside of walking in that blessing. Now, do we have any responsibility for that? He says to humble ourselves before the Lord. That means we've got to put off the old man and his deeds, and we put on the new man. Now, can a dead alien sinner do that? No. But a little born-again child of God has all that put in him in a new birth. One of the fruit of the Spirit is meekness. He has that in him. But he's to walk in that. And that, as a little child of God, he's to walk in that. And if we fail to do that, we'll be robbed by going the other direction. May the Lord bless us to live our lives in a way to honor and glorify Him. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.